awesome to have you guys here today as we wrap up this series that we've been in for a few weeks, going beyond the motions. You know, during my lifetime, there have been just so many advances and breakthroughs and discoveries. I mean, we've been to the moon and back. It's like we go out into outer space, it seems like, all the time. When you think about the medical arena, wow. I mean, it's just staggering the kinds of like brain surgeries that they can do, heart surgeries that are possible these days. It's really nothing short of astounding. You think about all the technological advances. Man, it's just crazy. I mean, I remember when I was a kid, futurists used to predict. They predicted that there might be a day when we would have phones that would hook up to television screens where you might be able to see the person that you're talking to on the other end on your television screen. And today that looks like, so what? I mean, that's common. We can do that with our phone. This apparatus that we carry around with us in our pockets or in our purses. I mean, it's basically these are like these incredible computers with all kinds of power that allow us to access all kinds of information, do all kinds of research, watch movies, listen to music. I mean, all these things, and yet in spite of all these advances, all these breakthroughs, all the innovations, how are we doing? I mean, have we really made any progress on the big issues of life, like when it comes to the purpose of life, the very meaning of life? I mean, have we made any progress when it comes to happiness, to inner peace? Why am I here? You know, technology and all these contraptions, all these different things that we have, I mean, they've improved our life, I guess, to some degree. We have things that are safer, things that are faster. But when you think back to our ancestors, and they didn't have a lot of the things that we have, but are we really any happier than they were? I mean, have we made any progress in that area? Did they struggle with the boredom, the despair, the depression, the self-pity that is so common in our culture? I think we would be pretty hard-pressed to make a case for the fact that we're any happier than they are. And I'm not really trying to make a case one way or the other. All I'm trying to say is that all these advancements, all this technology, all this stuff, it really doesn't affect our human happiness. I mean, it's fine. You know, and yeah, it allows us to do some things that we couldn't do, and it makes our physical lives a little bit more comfortable. But the Bible, Scripture, has always said that when it comes to us being happy or unhappy, it's a lot bigger than that. It's about something much more transcendent than that. And so what does God have to say about this issue of happiness? And have we learned in our like modern era, have we learned to be happy and to stay happy? And I hope that doesn't seem like a trivial question to any of you, that you're kind of beyond that. Because the reality is that we come up with all these new things, you know, new paradigms and new terms and the latest, greatest, you know, self-improvement fad and all these different things we come up with. But at the heart, what's behind so many of those things is this question, is it going to help me be happier? How will it help my happiness? And if we know how to be happy, then why aren't we happier? Am I a fundamentally and consistently happy person? Am I? Are you? Am I a fundamentally and consistently happy person? And I hope that during this time that you'll kind of process that in your mind and answer that question internally in your life. And if you're going, well, you know, I've heard this before, you know, I know about happiness, I know how to be happy. Don't go there. Don't say that. Instead, what you need to be saying is, yeah, you may have heard that, but the question you need to be asking is, if I know how to be happy, am I a fundamentally and consistently happy person? And if not, then why not? And so what I want to do today is I want to look at four principles from Scripture that address this issue of whether we're happy or unhappy. But before we go there, I want to go back and I want to review real quickly where we've been in this series so you can kind of hopefully go connecting some of this together. We've said throughout the series, it's just so easy to get into kind of a groove, a routine, a rut, and next thing you know, we're just kind of going through the motions. But God never intended for us to live our lives that way. God's intention, His design, is when He wants to come alongside us, and He wants to help us, He wants to enable us to go beyond the motions. And the first week in the series, we talked about this guy by the name of Daniel. And we said what we need to do, if we're going to go beyond the motions, is we need to adjust our perspective. We need to shift our focus from focusing on what we can't do to focusing on what we can do with God's help. Now, almost invariably, we will find ourselves in circumstances and situations in which the reality is we can't do a lot to change the overall circumstances that we find ourselves in. But there will almost always be something that we can do. So what we need to do is we need to invite God into the situation, because when we do, He gets actively involved in our lives, giving us the wisdom and the inner strength to do what we can do. And so we need to shift our focus from what we can't do to what we can do. And then the next week we talked about this guy by the name of Nehemiah. We talked about gearing up, coming up with a plan to do some things differently. Because if we're going to move beyond the motions, get out of this routine of just going through the motions, we've got to change some things. We've got to do some things differently. We've got to come up with a plan, take the first step, and then keep moving in the right direction. And then last week, we talked about being hero makers. And we talked about this guy by the name of Barnabas. And we said, man, we need to shift our focus from it being all about us and our success and us getting all the attention to start focusing on helping others be heroes. What if we shifted our focus to help others succeed and discover and reach their God-given potential and purpose? And that brings us up to speed with where we are today. And today, what I want to talk about is I want to talk about clarifying the win. You see, the grand pursuit, if you will, for a lot of us, the longing of our hearts is to find and experience this thing called happiness. And for a lot of us, it's like, that's the win for us. That's the target, is happiness. But what if we're aiming at the wrong target? And so what I want to do is I want to give you four principles from Scripture that address this issue of a happiness. So if you have your Bible, if you would open it to Psalm chapter 1, it's what we're going to be looking at here. So I want to read these verses, and then we're going to unpack these. Psalm chapter 1, beginning in verse 1, it says, "Blessed is one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on His law day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do, prospers." So, the first principle that we see from this text, number one, is that happiness is possible. Happiness, okay, it is possible. It's available. It's attainable. Look at the beginning of the verse. It says, "Blessed is the one." Blessed is the one. And that word there, blessed, means fulfilled or joyful or happy. Blessed or happy is how you say that. So the first thing that we see is that blessedness or happiness is possible. And that is actually a staggering statement. That is like a thundering statement. And some of you internally, you may be going, well, really? I mean, it doesn't seem that staggering to me. I mean, like, really, did I show up today for you to tell me that, I mean, I'm at church for you to tell me that happiness is possible? I mean, like, really? But the reality is that almost all of us, unless we had an unusually harsh childhood, almost all of us started our life. We started out thinking that happiness is natural in life. And yes, of course, there's some people who are unhappy, but a lot of us, we grew up thinking that, man, if like a child is unhappy, it's because something is really screwed up. I mean, something is really messed up in their life. But we start out thinking that happiness is natural. And even though some of us grew up with parents who even told us, man, life is tough. You make sure to put some money back in savings. I'm telling you, life is tough. We grew up thinking, you know, if I'm good enough, if I'm smart enough, if I work hard enough, then I'm going to be happy. Everything's going to be fine. I'm going to be great. I'm going to be happy. But as time goes on, we migrate. And when we begin to think, you know, maybe happiness, maybe it's not quite as easy as I thought it was going to be. And we begin to realize that a lot, maybe even most, of the most brilliant and intelligent and successful people tend to be some of the most cynical people. And we begin to realize that a lot of the great literature is tragic. I think about which is life more like? Is it like Shakespeare's play, Much Ado About Nothing, in which there are all of these twists and turns, but at the end, the key characters in the play end up getting together and getting married and, you know, kind of living happily ever after? Is life more like Much Ado About Nothing, or is it more like Hamlet, which in the end, everybody kind of dies? They all kill each other off. And everybody's disappointed. It's all awful. It's this tragic thing. Which is life more like? Is life more like Much Ado About Nothing, or is life more like Hamlet? Which is it? Or maybe is it more like Macbeth, who said, life is but a walking shadow signifying nothing? This is an incredibly bleak statement. And yet, which is life more like? I think a lot of people tend to start out thinking that happiness is natural. But then as life progresses, we get to the point where we start wondering if maybe happiness is unachievable. Now, if you think it's natural, then the reality is you're probably either very young or you're very inexperienced, or you've lived a temporarily, like, unbelievably charmed life. On the other hand, there are people who think that happiness is unachievable. And interestingly, these people tend to be considered some of actually the best thinkers. And then in the middle, there are people who kind of bounce from one side to the other, largely because they're too busy to really notice how dangerous and tragic life really is until it bites them. But then there's a fourth group of people. And those are people who know and believe what the Bible says about this issue of happiness. And the Bible actually says that happiness is possible. It's possible to be happy in this world. It's possible to be happy in this world, in this life. You can be a fundamentally and consistently happy person. That was just happiness. It's possible. Happiness is possible. It is. It's actually a radical statement. You may not have thought of it as such, but it really is. And yet when we come to grips with that, happiness is possible. I mean, the question, inquiring minds want to know, if happiness is possible, then why do so few people experience it and have it? And the reason is that because while happiness is possible, it's not found where many of us probably think it's found. And that leads right into the second principle that addresses this issue of happiness. And that is, number two, that happiness is uncommon because people seek it in wrong ways. It's uncommon because people seek it in the wrong way. We fall into one of two mistakes. As a result, we're never happy. Now, I want to skip down to verse 3 here. We're going to come back to verses 1 and 2. But when we're talking about real happiness, or when we're talking about happiness, you need to understand we're talking about, you know, like real happiness, okay? A deep, fundamental happiness is what we're talking about. We're not talking about just kind of a superficial, just kind of smiley happiness, okay? Look on down at verse 3, though. It says the person, referring to the blessed person, okay, the happy person, the godly person. It says that person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. And whatever they do prospers, or it thrives, it succeeds. So it's saying the godly person, that happy person, is like a tree by a river. I mean, this is such a great metaphor here, because a tree is subject to the seasons. It's not always fruitful. It's not always blossoming. I mean, it feels the cool of winter. It feels the heat of summer. But unlike other trees, this tree that it's talking about in this verse has been planted by streams of water. So it has a constant source of nourishment, of sustenance. It has a constant source of water. You see, the first mistake that we make is to try to find our happiness in circumstances. To try to find our happiness in externals. But the Bible says that if we try to find our happiness in circumstances, in externals, we'll screw it up. Because real happiness is found under us. It's found inside of us. It's found in our roots, in where we're rooted. Happiness isn't the result of what happens to us. It's the result of who we are. It's the result of our character, of what happens inside of us. You remember the little saying, two men looked through prison bars, one saw mud, the other stars? Two men looked through prison bars. One saw mud, the other stars. What's the difference? I mean, they're in the exact same circumstances, looking at the same exact bars. One looks through the bars and sees mud, the other stars. What's the difference between these two guys? The difference is the men. It's who they are. What's going on inside of them? You see, some of us are like trees that are not planted by rivers of water. We don't have that constant source of water, of strength. We don't have that constant source of peace in our life. You see, a Christian isn't just someone who does good things. A Christian, a follower of Jesus, is someone whose life has been transformed from the inside out. Now, in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4, the scripture tells us that we are actually partakers of the divine of the divine nature. What that means is that our roots, the roots of who we are as followers of Jesus, our roots go down into God. When we receive Christ in our lives, something amazing happens in us. This next verse, look at this. Psalm chapter 1, verse 4, the very next verse, it goes on and says, not so the wicked. I mean, we're planted by rivers of water, those of us who have this relationship with God. But it says, not so the wicked, those who don't have a relationship with God. They are like chaff that the wind blows away. You see, a Christian, once you open your life with Jesus, you are not like, say, you're not like chaff, the leftover straw that's left around after harvest has no root, that just gets blown away. In fact, as you look back at verse 3, it says that we are planted, the trees are planted. Now, trees, they can't plant themselves, right? I mean, someone has to plant a tree. And when we turn to God and we open our lives up to Him, and we place our faith, our trust in Jesus, and what He did by dying on the cross, God plants us so that our roots go down into the source of water, the Spirit of God, so that we experience His power and we experience a new outlook and a new understanding that we didn't have before. And it says, we put our roots down into Jesus. That's where the happiness comes from. You see, the tree, it experiences afflictions and hurts, and that affects it. But it says it doesn't always bear fruit, but its leaves don't wither. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 6, this is a classic text on this. We're going to throw this up on the screen. It says, in all this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trouble, in all kinds of trials, rather. In all this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. It's saying that even in the deep distress and in the pain, in the turmoil of life, we're still able to rejoice. You see, even while we're hurting, the leaf doesn't wither because the roots go deep into the source of life, into the source of nourishment, into the source of God Himself. And some people go, well, if you're a Christian, then you know, why don't you just like get over it and just smile? No, that's not healthy for us. That's not what we need to do. We're going to grieve. If we've gone through painful things, we're going to grieve. We're going to hurt. You look at the life of Jesus. Jesus grieved. He cried. He hurt. The tree has to pull from the source of water, has to pull from the source of life, has to pull from the source of sustenance, even more fully, actually, even more deeply when it's going through the painful times. And anyone who's experienced this fundamental happiness knows that in those times of deep pain, in the drought, in the storms of life, that's when you have to go deep. That's when as Christians we go deep down into Jesus in a way that we never have before. It's those times where we really go deep with our roots. You see, the happiness, the blessed life the Bible talks about is a deep, fundamental happiness, not a superficial happiness, not a lighthearted happiness. It's not all smiles and joking around and pretending that we never hurt. It's not that. It's not a happiness that's based on circumstances. It's a joy that's permanent. It's a joy that's lasting, even in the midst of the difficult circumstances that we face. It's about being rooted in Jesus. It's about inviting and allowing His Spirit to nourish and strengthen us as we go through life. And if you've ever experienced it, you know what I'm talking about. You feel this overwhelming sense of His presence. You feel as though His hands are upholding you as you go through what you're experiencing in life. So happiness is uncommon because we seek it in the wrong way. We seek it in our circumstances. I mean, if everything's going great, if everything's going the way that we had planned, that we had hoped that it would go, well, you know, we're happy. But if it's not superficial happiness, but we're happy. But if it's not, if things don't go that way, then we're left just kind of going through the motions. But happiness, real happiness, isn't brought about by controlling our circumstances or by controlling our environment. It's brought about by choosing our allegiances, which leads us right into the third principle that addresses this issue of happiness, and that is that happiness can never be found directly. And it's so important that you get this. Happiness can never be found. It can never be gotten directly. And this principle right here is actually taught throughout Scripture. It's everywhere. As you begin to read Scripture through this filter, you begin to see it. Almost every time that this word blessed appears in this context, that's what it's getting at. That happiness can never be found directly. In fact, this is so obvious that a lot of times we actually miss it. Here's what you need to get. Happiness is always a byproduct of something else. Happiness is always a byproduct of something more than happiness. It's not about pursuing happiness. And for some of you, this is probably going to blow your mind. I mean, this is going to confuse you, because some of you, you have been on a quest for happiness your whole life. But stick with this, because, man, this is so critical. You see, whenever we see the word blessed in Scripture, it never ever says, blessed is the person who pursues blessedness. Never says that. Never says, blessed is the person who seeks blessedness. Happy is the person who seeks happiness. Blessed is the person who hungers and thirsts after blessedness. It never says that. It always says, blessed is the person who searches for something more than blessedness. Now, if you've heard this before, and they'll say, I've heard that, then they'll say, then why am I not more happy? Why am I not happier? You see, the reason we're unhappy is because we've made something other than God our trust. So we need to ask ourselves, what am I really living for? You see, as you look at like Matthew chapter 6, it's a chapter that says, don't worry about this, don't worry about this, and it talks about all these things. Don't worry about all the things we get so bent out of shape over and so twisted and so uptight about. And then it comes down to a statement in verse 33 of chapter 6 of Matthew, and it says, but seek first, don't worry about all these things, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things that we get so bent out of shape over, that we worry about, that we want so bad, this happiness thing that we want so bad. You seek God first in his kingdom, and all these things will be added to you. Think about this. Why is it that sometimes we cheat? Why is it that sometimes we lie? Why is it that sometimes we break our promises, that we break our own standards? I mean, we come up with standards and when we break them, why? Because the normal and natural bent of our hearts is to say, I believe these principles, I believe these standards. I mean, I believe in honesty, I believe in integrity, I believe in purity. All of those are good. I believe in all those things, but sometimes, you know, we need to make an exception. And when somebody says that, well, yeah, I believe in those things, but sometimes we need to make exceptions. What do they mean by that? What that means is that there is a principle that they believe in over and above all the other principles that they believe in. There is a principle that they believe is what's actually going to lead them to happiness. So while they believe these other principles, there's another principle that's even bigger that's going to make them happy. So yeah, you know, I believe in telling the truth, but I'm not going to lose my job over telling the truth, because that would make me unhappy. Or, yeah, I believe in this. Yeah, I believe in this, but I'm not going to lose this guy. I'm not going to lose this gal over that, because I wouldn't be happy. And what that is that's an indication that our top priority is seeking happiness, actually. And everything else is second or third or fourth. I mean, the kingdom of God is great, but I'm going to seek what I think is going to make me happy first. Okay? And being honest is great, but I'm going to seek after what's going to make me happy first. But God basically says, if you seek happiness, if that's what you seek, it will always escape you. If it's what you seek, if you seek happiness, it will always elude you. If you make a happy marriage your number one priority because you think that's what's going to make you happy, you'll never find happiness. If you make your having a successful career your number one priority because you think that is what's going to make you happy, you'll never find happiness. You won't find it there. People say, well, I want to make this moment last forever, this moment of happiness last forever. Okay, you can try. But the moment that you focus on that time, that happiness, you pollute it. Try to be happy. Make your main objective in life happiness, and you won't find it. You say, well, I think I'm interested in this Christianity thing. You know, I think I'm going to jump in if Jesus will really help me reach my goals and make me happy. that's not coming to God. That's coming to a genie or to a butler. Listen, if God exists, then you need to come to him his way. See, the reality is either God exists or he doesn't exist. If he doesn't exist, you can't come to him anyway. But if God exists, you need to come to him on his terms because he is God. If when things go wrong, we say, well, what good did it do me to come to church? Or what good did it do me to read the Bible? You know, that just shows that our number one priority isn't God. Our number one priority is happiness. We're just trying to use God to get what we want. But we can't just trick God into giving us happiness. Happiness is a byproduct. It's a byproduct of wholeheartedly pursuing God. So, if happiness is possible, then why don't more people have it? Well, number one, because we look for it in our circumstances. We look for it in externals. But number two is because we go after it directly. You know, I'd like to serve God. I want to love people and obey God and follow God's principles and guidelines. But what I really want more than anything else is happiness. And when that becomes our focus, when happiness becomes our focus above everything else, we miss it. We miss it. Happiness doesn't come by pursuing it. It comes from pursuing something more. And that leads right into our fourth principle related to happiness. Number four, happiness isn't something that happens to us. It's something we choose. Happiness isn't something that happens to us. It's something we choose. And I want to go back to verse 1. I want you to notice it starts with several negatives, several don't. Blessed is the person who doesn't. So look at this. Verse 1, Psalm chapter 1, verse 1. It says, blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked. Now, when Scripture talks about the wicked person here, it's not talking about what a lot of us think. I mean, when we think about a wicked person, a lot of times we think of some awful, despicable, mean, maybe abusive person, that type of deal. When Scripture uses this term, it's actually talking about like anyone and everyone who isn't pursuing God, who isn't living their lives for God. So it's blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers. That means that if we're going to find happiness, there's some things that we're going to need to avoid. There's some allegiances that probably are going to need to change in our lives. There's some things that we're maybe going to need to do differently. But look at what it says. It talks about walking in step with the wicked. That's talking about listening to the advice of the ungodly. Who are we listening to? Who are we getting advice from? Who's influencing our lives? And then it goes on and it says, standing in the way that sinners take. And when it talks about that, it's talking about our behavior. It's talking about just following the crowd, what others do that are ignoring God in their lives. And it says, sitting in the company of the mockers. It's talking about who you belong to. It's talking about belonging with those who ridicule and reject God and reject his ways. So if you want to be blessed, if you want to be happy, it's saying negatively that there's some things that we need to pull away from. There's some things that we need to distance ourselves from, and that we need to keep from influencing us and controlling us and dictating how we live our lives. Because you see, a lot of us, we live with this mindset that God, we've heard this so many times, God just wants me to be happy. And that seems to justify everything. I mean, that's why some people, you know, they like bail on their marriage. They bail on their family. I'm just not happy. They weren't satisfying me, And God wants me to be happy. And if I, I hear something like that one more time, and it just drives me crazy. But people use that to get involved in all kinds of sin. Pursuing happiness by pursuing sin will never lead to real happiness. Pursuing happiness by pursuing sin will never lead to the blessed life. So here's what we need to get. I mean, if we call ourselves Christians and we're not fundamentally and consistently happy, we've got to ask ourselves, what piper are we dancing to? Who's calling the shots? Who owns us? Who are we listening to over God? Who is it that's got their hooks in us? But then it goes on. And on the positive side, it says in verse 2, but blessed or happy is the one whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on this law day and night. It's saying blessed is the person who delights. It's saying blessed is the person who's thrilled, who's excited about God, who can't stop thinking about God and His ways, His truth, His principles. A person who thinks about it day and night, who's thinking about it all the time. It's a person who delights in God. Now look at this next verse, Psalm 37, verse 4 and 5. It says, take delight in the Lord, and He will give you, when you delight in God, He will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in Him, and He will do this. You want happiness and fulfillment? It doesn't come. Get this. It doesn't come by pursuing happiness and fulfillment. It comes by delighting in God. You see, we think that happiness is the ultimate win. And so what we do as a result of that, some of us, we pursue happiness with everything that we've got. We make that the target in our life. But happiness is the wrong target. Please understand that. Happiness is actually a byproduct of wholeheartedly pursuing God. So write that down. Happiness is a byproduct of wholeheartedly pursuing God with your life. One of the big mistakes that a lot of us make, even as followers of Jesus, is to make pursuing God the highest, or pursuing happiness the highest priority of our life. But Scripture doesn't teach that what we need to pursue is happiness. The key is to pursue and to delight in God. Because if we live our lives pursuing happiness or fulfillment or success, we're not going to find it. Happiness. Get this. This is what it comes out. Happiness is available. But we don't find happiness by chasing after happiness. We find happiness by chasing after God. We don't find happiness or the blessed life by pursuing it. This is what we're saying. By pursuing it directly. We don't find it by trying to control our circumstances, by trying to control externals. It's the result of an internal transformation. We don't find it through controlling things. What it really comes down to is it is a byproduct. Happiness is a byproduct of offering our ultimate allegiance to God. Now, if you were to find like a flute laying on the ground, think about this. It might as well be a pipe if you don't know how to play it. Well, there is a sense in which God offers us the gift of happiness. But the way we play it is by delighting in God, by pursuing God with everything we got, by pursuing Him wholeheartedly in our lives, with everything. And we're going to wrap up. We're going to pray here in just a moment. What you need to get is that happiness is not the ultimate win. Knowing and delighting in God is the ultimate win. Happiness is a byproduct. It's a byproduct of wholeheartedly pursuing God. So let me ask you, what are you pursuing? What's the highest priority in your life? Happiness or God? What what needs to change in your life for you to make God the highest focus, the highest pursuit of your life, not happiness. Stop chasing after happiness. Start chasing after God. If you're going to go beyond the motions, you can't just keep focusing on yourselves. We can't focus on ourselves. We can't just focus on our happiness. We can't just keep doing what we've always been doing. We've got to clarify the wind. And we've got to pursue and chase after God. Would you bow your heads with me? If you're here today and you've been chasing after happiness, you've been pursuing that, thinking that that was what was going to get you out of just going through the motions, it won't do it. You've tried that already. Why don't you pray in your heart and say, God, I want to pursue you above everything else. God, I want to chase after you. I want to open my life over to you. I want to put Jesus at the center of my heart. I want to live my life wholeheartedly chasing and pursuing, not after happiness, but after you, God. Because I realize, I understand that happiness is actually just a byproduct of wholeheartedly pursuing you. May that be our heartbeat. In Jesus' name.